What I can't fathom is how one can drink ice-cold beer in freezing weather.
Cliff, explanation, please.
Now, how do you know he has one?
$5 says he does, $10 says it's a doozy.
When the British ruled the Punjab, $10 all the way. They drank steaming hot pots of tea on the hottest days of the year to balance out their inside and outside temperatures. See, conversely, drinking an ice-cold drink on a cold day actually results in a more comfortable body temperature.
All right. Why do you drink ice-cold beer on a hot day?
Mr. Clavin.
What else are you going to do with it?
Cliff and Norm, by the way, could be two of the greatest side characters in television history. I saw some, this is one of those pointless rambling content a listener asked me not to get into tonight, but tough, get your own show. We won't talk about it that anymore. It's Carver Knights, I'm Spike Lee along with Matt Butler. The side characters can really make a good show a great show. All shows have their main characters. Happy Days, Richie Cunningham. You know, the Cunningham family were a side character. Ralph and Potsy, side characters. Laverne and Shirley, spinoff. Lenny and Squiggy, side characters. Right? But when it comes to good side characters, Cliff Clavin and Norm, a Hall of Fame. Could be the best in the business, ever. And I love Lenny and Squiggy, don't get me wrong. You know, Cheers had... I guess Sam and Diane were the mains, right? Carla, a main. Who knows? You're really splitting hairs now. And lots of stuff to talk about tonight that we said. We get some serious issues. I know that there's lots of times during the day that the issues get to be so much that you want a little break from that stuff. And we kind of hope to offer that to you as we talk about things from all gambits of your life. Things that matter. And sometimes things as irrelevant as whether Norm and Cliff are the two greatest side characters in television history, you know? Hawkeye Pierce, the main character of MASH, Hawkeye and Trapper John.
I am such a huge fan of Alan Alda's Hawkeye Pierce.
Phenomenal character.
I love that character.
Klinger's a side character. And Frank Burns and Hot Lips are basically side characters, right? The main thrust was Alan Alda. He was the central figure of the show MASH and the movie MASH, Trapper John and Hawkeye and BJ, as you talk about character replacement, how hard it is to replace a beloved character in a show and move on, as Kirstie Alley was able to do for Cheers. Her Rebecca character won her a Golden Globe. Well written, brilliantly acted. The late Kirstie Alley passed away today at 71. And we could talk about, you know, the Supreme Court's ruling. Like, hearing a case right now, they haven't ruled yet. But the 6-3 conservative Supreme Court seems to be litigating. That's not the right word. They seem to be ruling from the bench, passing down rulings. And they seem to have decided to let their opinions, that's because judges give opinions, but their personal beliefs dictate what they do as opposed to the rule of law. I'm just my opinion. Right now they're hearing a case about a web designer and whether or not that web designer can choose, because of religious beliefs, to not work for or take the business of a gay couple. This web designer builds websites, and the case taken to the Supreme Court, whether or not a web designer has to build a wedding website for a gay couple because it offends their religious beliefs. It's a difficult case. It's a difficult freedom with which to use to make law. But much like the Supreme Court did with their case in Mississippi that they used to overturn 50 years of legal precedent in Roe v. Wade, these cases are being cherry-picked by various states and elevated to the Supreme Court to get in front of this particular version of our Supreme Court to rule from a religious point of view, to protect religious freedom, one could argue. It's a difficult thread. That's why it goes all the way to the Supreme Court. Where does one person's right to not do something that offends their religion Where does that take precedent over another person's right to live their lives as they see fit in America, enjoying the same liberties and freedoms that you and I enjoy? Like, your right to throw a punch stops at my nose's right not to be hit. It's a tough decision to make. All we can hope for is that the people making this decision that affects all Americans don't have a thumb on the scale or skin in the game based on their particular religious beliefs. And I think you'll find that a lot of the cases being brought to the Supreme Court these days are being brought specifically to take advantage of the political and religious leanings of the current version of the bench. Did you hear about the case in North Carolina? Not the case. The incident in North Carolina where someone shot up a power station? I think it happened yesterday. I caught wind of it this morning. A club in North Carolina, and I'm just doing this from memory from a friend of mine who posted a social media post. I'll have to kind of look up real quick while I do this on the fly and get the details of exactly what happened and where it happened. In North Carolina, there was a drag club. And they were having a drag show. And in order to prevent that from happening, prevent a club doing business in a manner that was completely legal, in order to make that, to stop that from happening, that because it would offend some folks with more conservative sensibilities, two North Carolina power stations were shot up, attacked, basically, knocking out power to about 40,000, 45,000 peoples. Let's see. This story I'm reading right now says almost 100,000 people were out without power. 35,000 remained without power as of this afternoon. Club was having a drag show. And somebody didn't want that to happen. So they knocked out power to the entire area of Moore County, North Carolina. FBI has been called in to investigate that one. Says it could be, that's what, the classic case of domestic terrorism? That's, you know, it's another tough label to figure out where it goes and where it doesn't go.
I heard last update that the FBI is joining the case.
Yeah,
so it could well end up in that way.
Yeah. You know, I've seen, this is where we get so dug into our side, so opposed to the other side, that we can't even respect their point of view or have empathy for their feelings, their sensibilities, their priorities, their religious beliefs. You know, it's like if your religion tells you that gay is unacceptable, drag is unacceptable, then, you know, you have the right to not take part.
Right. You don't have the right to interfere with other people's safety or freedom of commerce or expression.
Right.
By doing something like knocking the power out to a club simply because you disagree with what goes on there. Are these people going to other bars and clubs and knocking out the power because adultery takes place there?
Hmm. Well, if they advertise that adultery was taking place, they probably do a lot more business. You know, was it Ashley Madison's Bar and Grill? You know, is that where you go when you want to go somewhere that you're, no one's going to ask for your name? You got to, you know, order under an assumed name. I mean, it's you attempt to make light of these situations, make jokes and jest about these situations, but these are really serious sensibilities to these folks involved on both sides. I can get where people would want to protest a gay club or a drag club.
But it's not even a smart strategy. It isn't bringing people to your way of thinking. It isn't soul winning, if you will, or being a witness or being charitable in what you believe. It's just interfering with other people's rights and freedoms. And that's not going to endear them to you. It's not even a good strategy to change what you view as the moral decay of society. It's just ignorant.
And when you overplay your hand and take out a power substation, You know, that's going to cost millions of dollars to repair.
And what if it knocked out power to other people and the person, say there was someone in that house with a ventilator or some sort of medical equipment, or some elderly person got hurt, or a child? This is completely reckless.
You don't even have to wonder. Power to hospitals was knocked out.
Oh.
Yeah.
I hope they charge these people to the max.
Yeah. You don't have to wonder about the worst case scenario. It actually happened. All in the name of, you know, morality. All in the name of not letting, you know, a drag show take place in your community because it was offended your Christian sensibilities. I can't imagine any other motivation.
I have said this before I even got on the air here, but I've said it here too. I absolutely respect people's faith, their freedom to believe as they will.
Sure.
But if your faith and your belief system is so threatened that you have to do wrong to other people in the service of making what you think your point is, that's not a strong belief. That's not a healthy belief system.
But that's kind of where we've arrived in our dug-in, entrenched, my side, your side state of America these days. Because we've got media outlets who are telling these folks in, you know, Morris County, North Carolina, or whatever county you're in that you think drag shows are a real, Moore County, excuse me, drag shows are a real affront to your way of life. We have people telling them through media that something must be done. This can't be allowed to happen. It's the root crack in our foundation as a nation. You know, it's letting people differ from you, live the life they choose to live, is what's wrong. They don't see the irony, the hypocrisy of, you know, not letting someone have their freedoms.
So circling back, though, to the case before the Supreme Court of this web designer,
yeah.
She's put her services out there to the public. Now, there is an argument that I've heard that I kind of have to give some credit to. And it's brought up in the instances of people like Kanye West and their tweets and the stuff in their social media.
Uh-huh.
The argument is kind of, wouldn't you like to know who the bigots are or who disagrees with you or who doesn't agree with your lifestyle? And then you can choose to avoid them or not associate with them. I think that's a valid question to ask. So do you think that she should be forced to make websites for whomever approaches her business? Or just let it be known that she doesn't do that and then let her lose the business?
Like I said, it's a tough question to ask because what if her religion tells her that people of color? What if it was a mixed race couple, which is currently legal, and they're trying to right now pass a law that I believe passed the Senate and passed the House and is waiting on a signature from President Biden to codify it into federal law. So that even if it's just Clarence Thomas, you know, thinking out loud that contraception and interracial and gay marriage could be next for this activist Supreme Court to go after, they're trying to codify this into law, federal law, to protect the marriage. So unless something is written, I mean, it sounds stupid.
But again, here's why I think it's a difficult question. Yeah. I am pro-gay marriage, pro-interracial marriage. I have no problem with consenting adults loving who they love, marrying who they love.
Right.
But my question is this. Let's say you're entering into an interracial marriage. Would you want somebody working on your wedding or baking your cake that had hatred in their heart for you? There's almost a point to say, hey, let them advertise their hate and we'll go elsewhere. We'll boycott that.
That would let the market decide. I'm with you. But suppose this was the best web designer in town and everybody else who was willing to take the contract for your gay marriage website did shoddy work. Should you be denied the right to the best services in town because it offends the religious sensibilities of the person with the skill? I mean, it's a tough question to have. It's a tough answer to come up with. But the reason these particular cases are cherry-picked and run in front of the Supreme Court to begin with is because they're trying to legalize discrimination based on sexual orientation or based on a religious belief about a sexual orientation. And this is a country supposed to have no organized religion, part of the First Amendment, right? We have no establishment of an official religion of the United States.
Completely agree, but that doesn't mean that these tradespeople don't. Now, I may firmly disagree with how they apply it, but I'm not certain that forcing a bigot to do a job for someone is actually a good thing for the party getting the work done.
I agree. It's going to be the ugliest cake you ever, or the worst tasting cake you ever been into. I agree. It's suppose it's the only web designer in town or the only baker in town. Should you be denied the only service? What if it's a fire department that want to go to a house of a mixed race couple? Do they have the religious freedom to not take the fire truck to that house, the Love family in Virginia, the family that actually established interracial marriage?
Well, not to be a jerk, but if you live in a town like that, you've got bigger problems.
I'm with you. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you moved to that town. You don't know that the local volunteer fire department is a bunch of redneck, closed-minded bigots. You just don't know, right? I mean, these kind of, the right to discriminate against someone because of your religious belief, it's a tough question to answer. You know, if your religion prohibits you from working for a gay couple, that's your religion that's causing you to not want to work with these folks. Maybe don't be in the business where you may have to work for a gay couple. What if you are a doctor who took a Hippocratic oath to treat all patients in front of you, but you've got a religious problem with working on someone who's trans? Do you have the right through your religious beliefs not to operate on a trans person who comes in with a gunshot wound?
And that's a great example, because I have always been bothered by that. I have seen cases where they actually outed EMTs as being virulently neo-Nazi and very racist. And it begs the question, how can they treat everyone equally when they have prejudices against the people they might be called upon to treat?
Exactly. It's a very difficult problem to solve. And that's why we have a Supreme Court. That's why we have an appellate court. If you don't like the way, you know, if you don't like the way your court decides, you appeal the decision. You go to a different court. And one of the reasons that it's so difficult, would I play a Nazi rally? A texter asks the question, would you play a Nazi rally? No, I wouldn't. As an entrepreneur with a band, I get to choose which job we take. Now, I am not, that's my personal choice. And I should put that on my flyer. Spike and the Impalers, playing anywhere except Nazi rallies. Probably get more gigs by banning that work. If it was easy, anybody could do it, but they can't. It's America. That's why we're the only ones doing it. It's easy to just have one point of view thrown upon everybody. That's a dictatorship. You know? It's a tough call. You know, and coming up next, who was funnier, Reggie or Jughead? You know, we try to balance it out, the important stuff with just the knucklehead stuff that's not going to kiss, that we can agree on over a beer. Speaking of which, we'll talk about our Cairo holiday magic package coming up. I got some clarification from the boss on that. It's Cairo Nights with Spike O'Neill. Matt Butler will be right back after these. Nights, great Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. This is on the second very special Christmas, right?
Yeah, you are correct.
Yeah, and those are excuse me, those are wonderful additions to the Christmas canon. I think the very special Christmas albums were an attempt to kind of mainstream rock and roll versions. At least the first one was A Very Special Christmas, the first version. And the second version did pretty much the same. But was an attempt to give our not traditional holiday artists a shot. Give the rock and roll audience their own versions of Christmas songs. And I think some of those are some of the best versions, because I'm a rock fan. Some of the best versions ever are on the Very Special Christmas albums. Were there two or were there three? Matt's like, what am I, Encyclopedia Britannica? I wonder aloud often, Matt, as you know. I wonder aloud. And you do a great job filling the cracks of my memory and my knowledge, my experience, which are like canyon-esque in their massive
So far,
fissure.
There's at least seven.
Very Special Christmases?
Yes.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
When was the last one put out?
It looks like 2010.
Wow.
Had Sean Kingston, Colby Calais, Miley Cyrus.
Nice.
Let's see. Do I recognize? Oh, Carrie Underwood. And Jason Mraz. Okay.
There you go. And it's an effort to give everybody, no matter what genre of music you love, a little Christmas in your favorite vein. Right? I like it. One of my very favorite Christmas songs of all time was on the first one. It was Baby Please Come Home, which I think was Darlene Love. The original Christmas Baby Please Come Home.
That would be correct.
Yeah. And you too did a version on the first Very Special Christmas, which I love. I love their version of Christmas Baby Please Come Home. And this Christmas All Over Again is, I believe, an original by Tom Petty, right? I don't think that's a cover.
Oh, no, that wasn't original he wrote.
Yeah. And it's hard to write a good new Christmas song. Trust me, I know. We tried to do parodies forever, and we tried to write originals. It's tough. I think one of the most, my daughter was big on this one. Kelly Clarkson's Underneath the Christmas Tree is one of the last really good original Christmas songs.
Yeah, that's kind of a consensus. I think most people would agree.
And J.D. McPherson?
J.D. McPherson,
I'm finally getting it now. You played that for us last week.
The album called Socks. Was that not brilliant?
And feel free to add that any break you want throughout the next couple, 3 weeks.
Oh,
till
I will.
We, till we get to Christmas.
I didn't get to last night, so we'd love to, definitely be
It was very well received by the audience. We appreciate you bringing it to us. I appreciate you having such a depth of information and knowledge. I did mention that the My Northwest website has a link there for Holiday Magic. It's Cairo and Treehouse's 34th Holiday Magic celebration this year. And this year, it's the first ever auction where we have to try to raise as much money as we can for this very worthwhile cause. And from the original writing here by our promotion department, our Holiday Magic online auction is happening now. It's your chance to bid on incredible auction items, including show sit-ins from all of the major Cairo News Radio shows, not just this after-hours hodgepodge of rambling thought. You get everything from lunch for eight from the Hot Stove Society, lots more. Your chance to go fishing with Tom Nelson and Dory Monson. If you go to the My Northwest website and click on the Holiday Magic link, it'll take you right to the Head to the Auction button right there in big red, can't miss it. And then when you go to the auction, there's a section that says, a little button, activation button that says, make a donation. We know not all of you can afford to be the high bidder on an auction item. Some of these, we hope all of these items will bring in much more than their stated value. The idea is to generate as much money as we can for Treehouse, which works year-round to help those kids in foster care and the families that step up to be foster families. So anything we always want to raise more than we expect, this money has to help year-round, not just the holiday season. Because being a foster kid's a year-round experience. Being a foster family's a year-round experience. There are 13 different auction items up for bid. And as logistics would have it, only 12 of them fit on page one. Everything from Mariner packages, Seahawk Kraken packages, afternoon fishing with Dory Monson and Tom Nelson, sitting on Gian Ursula's show, sitting on the morning news, sitting on John Curley and Sherry Elliker's show, sitting on Cairo Nights. But that's on page two of the 13 auction items available. The Cairo Nights package, catered by Zeke's Pizza, a Zeke's Pizza Party here at Cairo Nights with Spike O'Neill and Matt Butler can be yours. And right now the current bid's $125. Pretty good deal.
Question, will we be having security frisk them before they enter the building?
Well, I don't think anybody had to worry about it until you just brought it up. I'm kidding. I would hope that anybody who bids on these packages, whether it's sitting in on this show, sitting in on the Gene Ursula show, John Curley, Sherry Elliker, the morning news, whatever it might be, that you're going to do this in the spirit of goodwill and generosity and helping a very worthwhile cause in Treehouse. And I got some clarity from management as far as what we are allowed to offer in the way of the experience with Cairo Nights. You can come in and watch the show. You don't feel any obligation to say hello on the radio, but if you'd like to, you're welcome to. If you have a question about how we put the show together, you're welcome to ask that question on air. You're welcome to say hi to the kids at home. Say hi to our men and women serving overseas. We're broadcast globally on the interwebs. All the things you want to do and bring to the show, you're welcome to do. I was cautioned about offering the opportunity to debate any topic on air.
Yeah, I was going to say that could either
that could go badly.
Could go very well, but it could also go rather badly.
You know me, I'm an optimist, Matt. I think everybody's going to be have a civil conversation.
And you know me, I've hung out on the internet too long to ever agree with that.
And now I know our legal department, and they say don't give folks the idea that they can come on and take over. No one's going to come on and take over the airwaves by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, I think this is a forum where we can discuss any number of topics. Trivial, sensitive, life-changing.
Flat earthers, get your bids in now.
Get your bids in now. Flat earthers from around the globe are waiting to bid. Just think about that for a minute, right? Yeah. I always loved that joke.
You know, the thing I loved is a group of people who, in their interpretation of religion, believe that the earth was flat.
Right.
So what they did was is they invested a whole lot of money, and I mean it was a huge sum of money, probably in the millions, to build a shortwave radio station to reach the world with the message of flat earth. Now, I don't know, you know, we're not all scientists or meteorologists. We don't all understand propagation, but do you kind of see the problem there, Spike?
I kind of do. It's ironic. And how embarrassing when all the other round planets are out there just kind of spinning around and we're this frisbee flat Earth just kind of in our own flat little orbit. It's embarrassing. And how many surfers were lost in the first ever Edge of the World Flat Earth Society surf off? Just tragic. They never had a second one. That's how many were lost.
Well, it's a little hard to get word back.
Anyway, the Cairo News Radio Holiday Magic 2022 auction is live right now. You can bid on any number of packages, 13 to be exact, 12 on page one, and only one on page two. That'd be us, Cairo Nights. A pizza party here with this show, sitting in live with us, asking a question if you like, making a statement if you'd like, enjoying a pizza party, pizza salad, some libations, sponsored by Zeke's Pizza. Still seeking clarity on whether or not alcohol is allowed. Obviously, Matt, you and I, being responsible broadcasters and accountable for our station's FCC licensing, wouldn't be able to partake. But
obviously,
I think guests to the show, given the fact that they would be citizens, civilians, if you will, just watching the events take place, maybe participating.
Well, as Donald Fagen put it in the Nightfly, respect the 7-second delay.
Yep, absolutely. And the fact that my desk is an official consulate of an American consulate for the Irish Republic, there's always liquor at my desk. Always. It's in the laws, in the bylaws here. It's Spike O'Neill, Matt Butler with Cairo Nights. We'll be right back after these. Don't go anywhere. Nights. I'm Spike Lee along with Matt Butler. So, this is beautiful. Who is this?
This is brand new music from an L.A. band called The Sacred Souls.
Is it new music?
It's brand new.
Wow. This could be 50 years old and would be some of the... This would be perfect 50 years ago, and it's perfect today.
I love discovering something new that has that classic
sound. Isn't that great?
Sound.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Awesome. Hey, you want to hear something weird? I'm agreeing with conservative Republicans on several issues today.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I know, right?
Check your temperature, maybe run a COVID test.
I think maybe, you know, I watched a very interesting version of A Christmas Carol last night. And I hadn't seen it before, and maybe it's old and I just caught wind of it yesterday. It was FX's version of A Christmas Carol. And it was a classic telling of the tale. Guy Pearce played Scrooge. And I don't know the actor's name who played Jacob Marley. And one of the things I found incredibly interesting about the version I saw last night, the story is told from Marley's perspective, almost, about how Marley is stuck in purgatory because he and Scrooge... were working together their whole lives, and the chains and that Marley forged in his time on Earth kept him from... He dragged those chains through eternity. The classic Christmas Carol's tale, right? But until Scrooge repented, regardless of Marley's ability to repent for his earthly indiscretions, until Scrooge repented, Marley would be stuck in purgatory. And the ghosts that visited Scrooge were working kind of with Marley, or Marley was in purgatory and knew what these ghosts were tempting and why they were tempting it. Incredible job. Great, great production. Real simplistic, very Dickensian in its production qualities. You know, I mean, in so much that London of the 1850s, whenever the story of A Christmas Carol was framed, all very well honored, and it wasn't a lot of flash, not a lot of special effects or anything like that. But it really, and one of the main focal points in the characters in the story was Bob Cratchit's wife, who, and in the telling of this tale last night, Scrooge did something to Cratchit's wife that was I don't want to ruin it, but just was pretty unspeakable. When the Cratchit's young Tiny Tim was born and needed surgery to save his young life, we all know he was physically challenged, disabled. I mean, it's Dickens, and we got to be woke enough about our terminology about how we describe Tiny Tim, right? Cratchit's wife, Mary, desperate for the funds to have surgery for her young newborn son, went to Scrooge to beg for money, and Scrooge, you know, asked her to do something for the money. And it's not as tawdry as I'm alluding to. At least it turned out not to be. That's too much of a spoiler enough. Anyway, that character and storyline was a major part of the story, which I think is a modern interpretation and a liberty taken with Dickens's classic tale. It was just incredibly fascinating. Anyway, I watched this last night and had weird dreams about, you know, whether or not I'm redeeming myself or seeing the world in a new and a more enlightened way. I saw a story last week, a couple different Republicans that I agreed with. One of them was Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, who decided that she was going to ban TikTok and its use from state social media platforms because China owning TikTok would have access then if South Dakota's federal or, you know, state government social media platforms interacted with TikTok. It would give the Chinese the ability to spy into and worm their way into, hack into South Dakota's official government websites and databases. And that's pretty smart. And she's a very conservative Republican governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, with probably bigger political aspirations in her future. And I fully agree with her. Former UN Secretary, I think it was Nikki Haley. Is that was her role? I think it was the governor of one of the Carolinas and then went under the Trump administration. Also said something a week prior that was very much, I'm like, wait a minute, she's exactly right. I'm seeing things from a more open-minded perspective. And there's a story today. And we'll talk about it when we come back because we're running out of time. And I want to give it the justice it's due. But the time and light of day, it is due. It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill. And if you come back, I'll tell you why I think this Republican is spot on. We'll be right back after these.